Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we're gonna treat this kind of like an open lines Friday, even though it's just a Thursday, but it feels like a Freedom Friday because it's the day before the 4th of July here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. Yeah, we've got the phone lines open if you got something you want to talk about, or, hey, I would say if you're one of our friends in Malta, in KMMR Radio Country in particular, if you've got some important information you want to put out for the public, definitely give us a ring. I shot a note over to our friends at KMMR Radio and said, hey, if you guys want to call in and you have any more important information to put out, like you've been putting out all night long and all morning long, feel free to call into the show. I also sent a message to Phillips County Sheriff Lytle as well to see if he wants to call in. We'll get to the One Big Beautiful Bill updates. A procedural motion did pass earlier this morning, as Speaker Johnson anticipated. So the congressional Democrats are in the middle of grandstanding right now, trying to delay the vote for final passage of the One Big Beautiful Bill. But the reason why I mentioned Malta in Phillips County in particular, I got a note from Terry in Scobie just a few minutes ago. Terry messaged us on the Montana Talks app and said, hey, have you heard anything about a fire in Malta? Apparently it forced some evacuations. And yes, the Phillips County Sheriff's Office posted some urgent information last night. So did our friends at KMMR Radio. This is what they posted last night. Fire emergency for residents of Malta. There is a large uncontrolled fire south of Malta, heading toward Malta, being pushed by high winds. Residents in the Hillcrest area were being advised to evacuate to the north immediately. So that was posted late last night. And then at a little after 11 p.m., thankfully, the Phillips County Sheriff's Office posted this update. They said the fire has been extinguished and crews are mopping up. The evacuation order is lifted and all residents may return to their residences. Hillcrest residents will experience lower than normal water pressure for a short time, as well as no power until the integrity of all power poles can be verified. There was no loss of any residents, and only a couple outbuildings were lost in the fire. That's amazing. When you see that initial update basically telling those residents to evacuate immediately, and then just what, couple or a few hours later, no residents lost. And so incredible work by first responders there, sounds like, across the board, and getting the word out and jumping on that fire immediately. And then it was really cool looking at the Phillips County Sheriff's Office Facebook page. You could see in the comments below some of our friends that live further south in Phillips County saying, hey, do you need more rural fire crews to respond? And then there were other guys, I think Fort Belknap and others, who said, hey, we're on the way, we're coming right now. So you could tell everybody in the surrounding area was ready to help jump on that fire as well. So it's the beauty of Montana, the treasure state. It's the people of Montana. All right, phone lines are open. Back after
big topics, big ideas, Big Sky, Montana Talks.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. First up on the phone lines, we've got Willie in the Paradise Valley listening to KPRK. And, Willie, man, when it comes to this One Big Beautiful Bill, 10,000 new ICE agents, 5,000 customs officers, and 3,000 border patrol agents. So that's just one of the beautiful things in this One Big Beautiful Bill. What's your thoughts?
Well, that's the thing I was calling about after you read that here a little bit ago. But just think about back when Obama and Biden and John McCon was trying to, or got all those IRS ages and whatnot in there, and all the money they were going to spend buying sawed-off shotguns for them guys, and now we got a big, beautiful bill that's going to protect us, not try to get in our business. So I just thought it was a great thing to hear how that's coming down right now, and people that are serving and protecting our border and stuff, what a refreshing thing to have coming up for the 4th of July.
Yeah, I forget. I was chatting with our friend David Noble earlier this morning, and he says with the passage of the One Big Beautiful Bill that ICE and our Border Patrol would basically become one of the largest armies in the world with this increase. But that makes sense because we need an army to defend our borders right now and to deport the criminal invaders that have invaded this country by the millions over the last 4 years.
Yep, that's a great thing, and happy 4th to everybody out there, and we still live in the greatest country in the world that God's blessed us so richly. People say, well, God bless America. He's already blessed America. We got to return the favor and honor him and what he stands for and fight these people that are literally trying to take away our freedoms right now. So.
Well said.
That's all I had. Thank you.
God's already blessed America. Well said. What a message heading into the 4th of July, heading into Independence Day. Willie, thanks for the call. Hey, next up on the phone lines, let's take you to Phillipsburg, Montana. And I'm glad he called in here. Let me see. Let me make sure I've got, we've got John Legay on the phone lines out of Phillipsburg, Montana. I think, which line is that? Is that line two? Yeah, line two. All right. I got a message on our Montana Talks app the other day. From John here, and it says, hey, I'm on the council for Phillipsburg, Montana. I've been asked to inform you of our Independence Day event. And as I was reading his message about their Independence Day event tomorrow in Phillipsburg, I thought, wow, that's really cool. I mean, I could read this message over the air, but wouldn't it be better to hear from the councilman himself, Councilman John Legay, now with us on the phone lines. And Councilman, did I see, are you a Master Sergeant? I saw MSG in front of your name there.
Well, good morning, Aaron. Yes, I am a retired Master Sergeant, 35-year service with both Navy and Army.
God bless you. Wow, what'd you do in the Navy and the Army?
The Navy, I was a gunner's mate. And then I moved on to a variety of things in the Army. You know, you can do a lot of stuff.
That's right.
Retired as an engineer.
Wow. Well, that's incredible. Well, thanks for all your years of service. Yeah, when I saw the MSG on the front of it, I figured it must be one of our great veterans listening to the show. So tell us about your Independence Day event. Apparently, this will be the fifth year you've been doing this Independence Day event.
Well, you know, recently Governor Gianforte announced that Montana was the number two most patriotic state in the country. I would contest that. But one of the reasons we are that way is because we remember. We remember where we came from. 249 years ago, horsemen went from town to town to share what the Continental Congress had just created, the Declaration of Independence. Well, here in Phillipsburg, we recreate that act. The Declaration is read publicly in the town square by a reenactor at 10 o'clock in the morning, again at noon after a 21-gun salute by the Phillipsburg Ceremonial Rifle Team, and read one more time at 2 p.m. All during the day, we pass out pocket constitutions with the Phillipsburg town seal on them. We enjoy sharing our history. And if it's not carried on, every town should do this. If it's not carried on, people will forget.
That's incredible. That's incredible. So who do you have playing the reenactor for this?
I do that myself.
You do it. Oh, I was going to say, you've got a great classic-sounding voice there. So that's were you the one that started all this, or how did it get started again?
Yes, I did. I asked permission of the council to read publicly, put up a soapbox, and it developed from there.
What a neat deal. So a lot of people are heading through Phillipsburg and heading into Granite County, maybe going to Georgetown Lake, maybe out there mining for their own, for their own jewelry. Maybe they're stopping in it's the Sweet Palace, right? The candy shop there, if I remember right.
Best in the world.
Yes, great candy shop. It has that old Western saloon kind of look to it. Great. So, yeah, and then you can take in a piece of history as well at several moments during the day. Well, that's great. Well, hey, thanks for your service, Master Sergeant, and your continued service to the state and to the country. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing with us as well.
Thank you, Aaron. You have a good day.
Hey, you too. Yeah, have a great Freedom Friday on this Independence Day coming up tomorrow. Okay, 406-294. See, it's way better than if I just read the message, right? So great to hear from you. You can call in right now, 406-294-0970, or send us a message on the Montana Talks app. That's how I heard about what John was doing in Phillipsburg tomorrow. We've got callers on the line and some phone lines open for you. What do you want to talk about? I want to talk about... They're wondering if the One Big Beautiful Bill will be the death of green energy. That's what I was thinking about talking about, but you tell me, what do you want to talk about? We'll get to you next.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I had a message on our Montana Talks app just a few minutes ago. Let's see. Here we go. Okay, this comes from Ryan in Malta. Ryan, thanks for the message. He says, check out Pierre Bibbs on Facebook. He's the editor at the Phillips County News in Malta. Yeah, I've met Pierre a couple of times. Seems like a really nice guy. But he's got drone pictures and video from last night's Malta fire posted. So during the break there, I did just that. I went to find Pierre Bibbs on Facebook. And now not only does he have the video footage from last night, but he's also got some morning after. The morning after in Malta, Montana. He wrote this about 2 hours ago. He got a drone up in the air. The morning after in Malta, Montana. This was extremely close. Thank you to the Malta Volunteer Fire Department and the Phillips County Sheriff's Office and those who fought the fire, whether in or out of uniform. You guys stepped up and saved this beautiful town. And yeah, you can see it. I mean, you see the little the blue the Mustang blue water towers there, and you can see a lot of land burned all around it. You can see land burned right up to the backyards and in some cases the front yards of some of these homes, but yet those homes got saved. So you can see the charred remnants of the land. That's incredible. I just shared it, by the way. If you go to facebook.com/Flint Report, I just shared those photos from Pierre. So if you have trouble finding it, that's an easy way to pull it up real quick. And then I need to share some of the drone video footage as well, because about 11 hours ago, he said, fire south of Malta, no time to edit. And you can see the flames as the sky was starting to get darken up into the evening hours after the sunset. All right, let's see. 406-294-0970. Next up, we've got Mark on the Middle Fork of the Flathead. Mark, are you out enjoying the river right now?
I already did. The fishing is best at daylight, Aaron.
You're back home now.
But I'm kind of working. I'm busy. Hey. What we need, if Jabber and Jeffries is up there, somebody needs to go open the door that says alarm will sound. And so, my plans for the 4th of July, of course, we're on the Rocky Mountain front. I'm launching bottle rockets and everything I can get off my friends on the Blackfoot Reservation out over our beaver pond. I've already got a hose laid. So I wanted to thank you for your service and happy Independence Day.
Hey, you too. God bless you, sir. Thank you, and thanks to all who've served. We've got so many incredible first responders and veterans and others out there, and people stepping up to serve their communities. Jabber and Jeffries, that's a great one. I haven't heard that line yet. Wasn't there a cartoon back in the 80s or the 90s? Jabba Jaw. There was a lady with the thick New York accent. It's Jabba Jaw. It's Jabba Jaw Jeffries trying to trying to stop these incredible tax cuts, trying to stop waiters and waitresses from getting no tax on tips. See, Hakeem Jeffries wants to keep taxing your Social Security benefits. So that's why he's got to be jabba-jaw on the floor of the House of Representatives in order to prevent all these good things from happening. All right, yeah, everybody stay safe out there, given, some dry parts of the state, of course, with fireworks and the 4th of July and everything like that. Let's see, next up. Not only was there this big fire in Malta last night that thankfully homes were spared thanks to the incredible first responders there, but I saw a story at KTVQ.com that a wildfire forced a partial closure of Makoshika State Park near Glendive as well. Let's see, Thomas in Billings, that was the topic you wanted to cover. What's your thoughts? What did you want to say about the fire at Makoshika?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me, Aaron?
Of course. Go ahead.
Yep. I've been on the scene for 48 hours. I got a tanker out here. I reached out to Tim Sheehy, see if we can get a tanker out here. These winds switch. We're going to burn up ranches. We're going to burn up everything. It's not going good. But you know what? I wish everybody a 4th of July, and we're going to fight the fires.
I guess I'll have to see. I don't know if it's on the InsaWeb website yet, or maybe our friends from KXGN have, they probably have some of the latest information they've been sharing this morning, but any stats or any numbers that you can share with us right now that you know of?
She's burning pretty hard. If the winds change, it's not going to be good. Ranches are going to be affected. Whew. It's raging pretty good.
So that's why you were talking about the need to get some sort of aerial asset in there to hopefully dampen that fire. Yeah, I did see. Let's see. What did. Yeah, Tom, thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for being out there on the front lines by the sounds of it. And thanks for the update. And thanks for flagging that one for us, too, because I'm sure folks in Glendive are getting the latest, most pertinent information on their local radio stations there, just like our friends at KMMR in Malta were keeping folks up to speed overnight with the fire threat there. What was I just looking for? I was looking for that story. Yeah, anyway, but I did see, according to KTVQ, that was a wind-fueled fire there as well. So, man. And then, speaking of fires, this was another sad headline to see here. This one comes, now we'll take you over to western Montana. This one out of Seeley Lake, KPAX TV had this headline, fire engulfs Pyramid Mountain Lumber Building during demolition. Well, first off, it's sad that they're demolishing that site, number one, because once they tear it down, it's harder to build something like that back ever again. Apparently, it's under new ownership now, and so they've been demolishing the site of the Pyramid Mountain Lumber Yard. So that's sad news in itself. But then apparently a fire broke out in the middle of the demolition. So KPAX TV has that story. All right, next up on the phone lines, and the number for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Let's go next to Flathead County. We've got Flathead County Commissioner Pam Holmquist now on the phone lines. Nice surprise phone call. Commissioner Holmquist, good to hear from you.
Well, good morning, Aaron, and happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July to you as well. What a beautiful place to celebrate our nation's independence in, huh?
Absolutely, you bet. So, yeah, for me today, what I wanted to visit or talk to you about is we just had our press release. We're going forward with our jail facility, going out for a bond in November, much-needed facility. Been talking about it in the county for over 20 years. The sheriff brought up he started in 2003, and there was talk about it then. And when I became commissioner, it became very apparent. So went to jail school, started a savings account, and it's just been something I've been working on a long time, and I'm so excited to actually see it coming coming forward to a bond. Yeah, we bought the property. We've done the first steps, like the geotech stuff and all the extra studies you got to do on a piece of property before you can start building. But we did all that with our savings, and we haven't touched the taxpayer yet because we've done it all with federal funds that we get through our PILT payments from the federal government. But at some point, I knew we'd have to go out to the taxpayer, and that's not an easy thing to do. But I've been working on this for probably 12 years now, and we're finally there. So. And then the numbers came in really good. You know, we were thinking $135 million is what we heard from the last consultant. But we came in at $105 million, and that equates to about $80 for a $600,000 home a year. So we've done our job. We've lessened the cost. We've slimmed everything down. And, yeah, just can't wait to get it out to the people.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, I just pulled up that press release right in front of me here. Flathead County is at a crossroads. Our aging jail is overcrowded, outdated, and no longer meets the needs of a growing population. The solution? A modern jail that keeps our communities safer, our justice system stronger, and our future secure. This has been a challenge all across the state of Montana. I mean, with crime, and then, of course, with the illegal immigration and how that's fueled the drug-fueled crime and violence as well. So, yeah, everybody's having to get creative with how to tackle this problem, but public safety's got to be priority number one for local governments.
Well, absolutely, yeah. That is our priority here. You know, the other aspect of that is we have an old jail, but we also have more mentally ill patients now and our inmates, and it's just so difficult to put them in a safe place, and our detention facility officers just work with that daily. So this new facility will have its own separate area for those individuals that are having a really rough time in life. So we have that. We have our general population, and it's just a more modern, efficient, and safe facility. Yeah, so
yeah.
Love it. And we also got a great letter from the governor on it, which I was very proud of, talking about how it's needed and how we came in $25 million under budget, and it's just a great day in the Flathead.
Well, and one of the things that hopefully also should help ease the crime situation and jail overcrowding is the state of Montana, the legislature, and the governor delivering funds for the expansion of for our prison capacity as well, because I'd imagine that's as big of a problem in the Flathead as it is elsewhere, where if you don't have room for state prison inmates, then they sit in the county jails longer.
That's absolutely correct, and it was great to see the Department of Corrections at our press release on the first, and you know, we're partners with them, and we just, yeah, they're looking forward to it too, and yeah, and they're putting money for it, and it's something we have to tackle.
All right, well, hold that thought, Commissioner Holmquist. If you want to stick around, we got to take a quick break here. Phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. If you got more to share, Commissioner, we'll come back to you right after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
The University of Illinois surveyed Americans to see how they view the Trump administration's Make America Healthy Again, or MAHA, initiative. One of the interesting results from the University of Illinois survey shows support among both conservatives and liberals, says Maria Kalazadunokis.
We also found sort of some interesting perspectives that very conservative and conservatives were more likely to support MAHA, but also people who were very liberal had higher rates of supporting MAHA. I was expecting to see what I've heard echoed in news stories lately, which is that MAHA supporters broadly think of the food system as being unsafe or broadly untrusting of food system players. Basically, what we found is that while they broadly are not concerned about safety of the food system, or while they're broadly not untrusting of all food system players, they have specific concerns.
These results appear to be in line with the central messaging from the MAHA Commission. Those criticisms focused on ultra-processed foods, food additives, pesticides, and the size and influence of some food firms. If you're interested in reading more of these findings, well, they're posted on the University of Illinois FarmDoc Daily website. You can read all about it and how both conservatives and liberals are showing support for the MAHA initiative. Thanks for joining us here today. I'm Lane Nordlund. Have a great day, everyone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Jim in Malta, stand by. Jim, definitely want to hear from you as well. Yeah, apparently folks were out there until midnight, so definitely want to talk about that fire. Okay, so facebook.com/flintreport. I mentioned I shared the morning after, what it looks like in Malta. You can see those photos. Also, one of our listeners just emailed me a few minutes ago and shared some of the photographs of the fire at Mikoshika State Park near Glendive as well. Those are some crazy photos. I just shared those, facebook.com/flintreport, so you can see those photos there as well. Back to it here, though, first with Flathead County Commissioner Pam Holmquist. Nice surprise phone call from Commissioner Holmquist this morning talking about the jail expansion they're working on in Flathead County. And then, Pam, yeah, I thought if you could stick around, it'd be great to talk about just the 4th of July in the Flathead. One of my favorite 4th of July parades ever is the Big Fork 4th of July parade. But it gets pretty crowded, though. I mean, man, it's almost a little too favorite for some folks right now. But great parade in Kalispell tomorrow, great parade in Big Fork. And speaking of Big Fork, the new bridge is now up and running. Who got to be the first person to cross the bridge?
You know, I don't know the name, but I know they auctioned that off, the Big Fork Chamber, and it was great. It was a great event. I can't remember his name, but anyway, it was in an old Model T, and it was just great. A great cooperation between Big Fork, Flathead, and MDT. We started back on this project in 2015 when we got the word that we had to do something, and MDT put a committee together. It was me and our public works director, the Big Fork Community MDT, and we met for about 7 months and just discussed different options to try to keep Big Fork whole, you know, keep their historic jail. It was very apparent that we couldn't keep the old jail, but we tried to replicate as best we could. I got to give big kudos to MDT because they're the funding source that gets these things done. And Flathead County has a lot of bridges, and there's no way we can afford to do these expensive bridges. So, but what a great thing for Big Fork. And just in time for the parade, right? On budget and before it was supposed to be done. So Battle Ridge Builders did a great job getting it done early. It's another great success story in Flathead County.
Yeah, no, that's great. And by the way, that old bridge in Big Fork, it's just such an incredible bridge. You know, if you were to put together like a top five or a top 10 list of your favorite old school bridges in Montana, the Big Fork Bridge is clearly up there. It reminds me of one of my other favorite bridges that was in northeast Montana, the old bridge in Vandalia. As a kid, I always loved it. Even as a bigger kid, I would always, you'd have to stop and get out of the pickup and just take it in, just enjoy time standing on the bridge.
And for sure.
Well, I know we talked briefly during the break too. I know you just wanted to second that information about, look, we got parts of Montana that were dry. The Flathead, northwest Montana, didn't get the snowpack you wanted. So just an extra cautionary note for people out there with fireworks this 4th of July to play it extra safe. Don't put these firefighters under any more stress than they already are.
That's for sure. Yeah, just be safe out there, folks. Have a great celebration, but keep in mind we got first responders that are going to be stretched to the limit here. So take it easy out there.
All right, Commissioner, thanks for the surprise phone call. That was great. Greatly appreciated. That's why we keep the phone lines open, 406-294-0970. Now let's take you to Malta. Jim in Malta, what can you tell us about last night and into the morning? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, you bet, Aaron. I'm not definitive, but had a couple local residents say that they saw a lightning strike. That very likely started it, and then we had, it was terrible winds and just blew the fire and fanned it and moved it towards town. But I just want to say a huge shout-out. We've got awesome, awesome multi-volunteer fire department, both the city and the county chief for our fabulous guys, and all them guys are just go-getters. I want to thank our Malta Border Patrol Station guys are out helping. We had Hayes over there. of course, our EMS folks on standby, and that's one thing about Phillips County. Everybody comes together, and it was a pretty cool deal. Very, very grateful for all them folks.
Well, just looking at the photos, at Pierre's photos here the morning after, it's like, my goodness, there were several homes that it looked like the grass got charred all the way up to the back porch, basically.
Yeah, and there were sheds directly behind the houses and a lawnmower and some other stuff. It got so close to the houses. If it hadn't been for our volunteer fire department, and of course we get local folks that come in and help kind of clean up and stuff, and so yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful community that comes together. But them guys are just, and I apologize for language, but they're just kick ass. Awesome.
Well, probably sleeping in right now as well. But there, otherwise, we would encourage them to call in too. And I know KMMR Radio was just pumping out great information. I saw their Facebook posts, and they do a great job of manning the board there to get this type of emergency information out. Back to Glendive for a second in Makoshika, the source there for photos and information, West Glendive Fire Department on Facebook is where those photos are coming from. They've also got information. Apparently, there is if you want to donate funds to the Emergency Relief Fund to help provide food and water, et cetera, for first responders, they've got information on that on the West Glendive Fire Department Facebook page. Hey, Jim, while I got you, the one big beautiful bill, I haven't really been looking at a whole bunch of other news alerts in the meantime because we've been talking fires in Montana and more, but that should pass at some point here this morning or this afternoon based on everything we've been seeing and hearing. And, of course, it has no tax on tips and no tax on overtime. But apparently, because railroaders are kind of in a unique situation where they've got other protections and kind of benefits through federal laws, somehow railroaders were exempt from this no tax on overtime. Is that a quick, easy fix we could do down the road, or is that something that might be able to get fixed here at the last minute? What have you been hearing about that? I know it was kind of a rumor when we first heard that they might be exempt from it. What have you heard in the meantime?
Yeah, and that was just yesterday, and I guess I hadn't heard any more. I was hoping, maybe one of our elected officials in Montana, maybe listening, could reach out to you and give us a little more detail on it. But we just had a number of our guys talking about it and don't think it's quite right. But I guess we do get some other stuff where other people don't too.
Yeah, there's a specific railroad retirement package. But, hey, regardless of what other benefits you get, it still should be if everybody else is basically not getting taxed on their overtime, there's no reason the railroader shouldn't, too. And again, we don't know the specifics on this. We're just going off of what we've heard. It's a question that's come up, so I'll have to see if we can clarify that with some members of our congressional delegation. All right, Jim, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Good, thanks,
hey, thank you. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Speaking of the one big beautiful bill, this was a topic I said we'd get to, so I better get to it here. And speaking of Glendive, it kind of reminds me, what is the latest with the proposed windmills, the big wind farms for Glendive and for other parts of eastern Montana? I saw, what was it, the paper, the newspaper, where did I put it? I had a story here from the Ranger Review in Glendive, and I probably buried it at this point. But anyway, what about the one big beautiful bill and what it will it mean the death of green energy? Will the one big beautiful bill lead to the death of green energy? Well, it shouldn't lead to the death of green energy. Let me explain. Here you go. This is from the Unleash Prosperity Hotline. The death of green energy. That's what almost every news outlet is saying about the Senate tax plan. ABC News worries that the plan will crush wind and solar power. I know some of you are like, ooh. The Financial Times warns that the GOP bill delivers a fatal blow to wind energy. Some people in Glendive would be happy about that. On Capitol Hill, Oregon Senator Ron Wyden raged that the Republican plan is a death sentence for wind and solar production and a massacre for the industry. Stephen Moore with the Committee to Unleash Prosperity says, we find the hypocrisy here to be towering. The green energy lobby has been telling us for decades now that wind and solar are the energy sources of the future and that the federal subsidies will be temporary and that profitability is right around the corner. That's why they think they need special perks. They've been telling us that for 20 years, but they're still not profitable. They still need a whole bunch of perks and incentives that nobody else gets. Hi.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so the bottom line is this, the One Big Beautiful Bill does do away with billions of dollars in the Green New scam. And saves billions in taxpayer funds from going towards this, green new scam, as it's been accurately referred to. But what about the tax incentives that have been in place for, you know, things like wind energy for decades now? Look, 25 years ago, something like a wind energy tax credit in Montana was popular. It was popular in Montana. That was pre-Bakken oil boom. That was, Middle Eastern dependency for energy. That was pre-unleashing American energy. And so people said, hey, let's put some incentives out there to get some alternatives going. But now it's like, okay, so why do you guys need all these tax incentives? Why do you guys need special perks that other industries don't get? Anyway, Stephen Moore with the Unleash Prosperity Hotline writes this. 50 years later, we're told that ending the gravy train of taxpayer handouts means the certain death and destruction of the industry. This is despite hundreds of billions already handed out. Now the industry wants nearly $500 billion of subsidies over the next decade, or 20 times more than the oil and gas industry will receive. So they'll sit here and say, oh, well, wind energy and solar energy is cheaper as we subsidize the communist Chinese, who are the ones that profit off of all of this stuff, right? Oh, it's cheaper. Oh, wait, what do you mean it's cheaper? Why is it getting so heavily subsidized if it's cheaper? Anyway, we've talked a lot about the Green New scam over the years, so I won't dwell on that one too much longer here. Let's see. Next up on the phone lines, let's take you back to the High Line. We've got State Representative Eric Albus from House District 28 out of Hinsdale, if I recall right. Representative Albus, good to hear from you. What's on your mind? I hear you, but Go ahead. I hear the pickup or the tractor working there.
Yeah, I'll shut her down here. No, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for the call.
Good. Good to hear. Have a good 4th of July. And, I just want to say we're all thankful here that it sounds like there's no casualties up in Malta yesterday. And we hope everything works out good for the people there. And it's still extremely, extremely dry here in Valley and Phillips County. And we're working on some disaster relief here still with the governor. And the governor will be in Malta here sometime next week. I think it's the 10th, if I remember correctly. So he's asked me to join him up there to meet, greet, and visit with people. So I just wanted to let everybody know that.
Good, yeah, because I was thinking of that too last night with this fire and water pressure being impacted with the firefighting efforts in Malta. It's like, I don't even, it's first off, the good news and the incredible news was that the Bureau of Reclamation and all the incredible engineering and construction firms that worked on the St. Mary siphon, those repairs are complete. And kind of like what Pam Holmquist said about the Big Fork Bridge, ahead of schedule, right? That's such great news. But that water still, I don't even know if it's showed up as far downstream as you are yet. And either way, it's too late for so many farmers. So a disaster, some sort of a disaster a declaration regarding drought is definitely going to be needed, right?
Yeah, it is. We're in the toughest shape I think I've ever seen it. You know, 1988 was bad, but this one here is worse. We've got pastures and country south of Glasgow, south of Malta, Hinsdale, Saco, that have not had any rain that amounted to anything yet this year. They're still as bad as they were last spring. And it is really a tough, tough year. So we're working at that disaster declaration, and then I'm really thankful. I was amazed to see that St. Mary's project got done as quickly as it did. Kudos to those guys working on that project. When they said September for water, I thought, gosh, if they're thinking September, it'll probably be November, and it'll be way too late. But at least there's a little hope maybe we'll get Fresno filled up, and maybe things will look better next year. Pray for some snow.
Yeah, you know, it seems like we've gotten so conditioned and so used to every federal project or every government project being delayed or over budget or behind schedule or, oh, this lawsuit or that lawsuit. It's like, wow, we got a bridge in Big Fork. Wow, we got the St. Mary siphon repairs. It's almost like there's new sheriffs in town in Helena and in Washington.
Well, I think with the change of regime in Washington, we had a really good thing happen because things do seem to be getting fast-tracked now. Some important projects are getting done ahead of schedule, which has to be the first time in the history of our government. So the guys that have completed these projects have done an excellent bunch of work for us. So we're really thankful for that.
Yeah.
We'll be looking into this railroad exemption here for this overtime. None of us quite understand why that is that way and why those laws were written. If there's anything we can do here at the state level right after the 4th, I've been in contact with a few other reps and senators. We're going to look into it, see if there's anything we can do to help, or if this is just going to be a Washington thing that we have to get a hold of our leadership out of Washington and visit with them about it.
Yeah, it seems like it should be a simple fix. If they aren't included right now because of whatever specific special, designation they might have, well, it should be a simple fix and hopefully a simple bipartisan fix. But then again, there's some things that you would think would be bipartisan that Jabber and Jeffries will go slackjaw arguing against. So who knows with D.C. All right, Representative Eric Alvis, happy Independence Day to you and all our friends on the High Line. Tell everybody we said hi. Thanks so much for joining us. The Terry Badlands.